Welcome, everyone, to another episode of A Sister and Her Mister. Today, we have Dr. Nirvana Taranyan. She became a naturopathic doctor, and her goal is to dramatically improve human health, happiness, and longevity through her unique and holistic vision of diet and nutrition. And just like us, she targets the root cause of patients' PCOS and many other hormonal health problems through nutrition. Her mastery in naturopathic medicine includes helping women heal from years of adrenal fatigue, gut dysfunction, and weight loss struggles, just to name a few. Dr. Nirvana is not only a frequent and popular request on our podcast, but she has also been one of my doctors, and we're so happy to have her here today.
Welcome.
Woo!
Doctor said you got PCOS, now go on, girl, just lose some weight. Till I took the symptoms into my own hands and reversed them naturally. So I became a dietitian to help my sisters feel the best they've ever felt. Take a step in my direction if you wanna prove them wrong and take control of yourself. Join a sister and a
much, guys. It is truly an honor to be on your podcast and to connect again.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming.
We were just talking about it before we started recording, but one of the first times we recorded an episode with you, we came to your office, set up a camera, the mics and everything. And it was like this, it felt like this whole like orchestra. And like, it was so new to us back then too, because we were new to podcasting, but good times.
It was a very good time. And I think it's in your guys' blood because you have always been super professional, entertaining, so informative. And I love listening to your podcast and your Instagram videos and channel. And you guys are just great at what you do. It's such a pleasure to know you guys.
Oh, thank you so much. That means so much to us. And we have the same feeling towards you. And we've learned so much from your Instagram videos and other videos you put up, as well as Talin herself learned from you, from her experience at your doctor, your office. So
I know. I remember when I was first diagnosed, you were one of the doctors that I went to. And it was just so life-changing. You just like changed my whole perspective on managing PCOS, thriving with PCOS. And I was just so young. I was in college and I was so scared of everything and like how like my body was changing so drastically, but you helped me so much.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate compliment. It really is. And it's a testament to you to see how far you've come.
I just followed what you told me.
That's dedication right there.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I was struggling with was not having my period for like a whole year. And that's what we wanted this podcast episode to be about, to ask you about, you know, how to get your period back and all of these things, because I'm sure so many women with PCOS are listening and struggling with irregular periods, or maybe just haven't had a period for years and years. And it's just so frustrating.
It is. It really is. And it's the primary complaint that I get from my patients. I mean, it's scary when it doesn't really matter what your age is and all of a sudden your period starts to change. And, you know, we don't know why, whether it's, you know, leading to the periods start to become irregular less and less, or they want to get pregnant and they can't. It's very uncomfortable to go through that, especially when we're really young and, you know, we seem to be struggling with life, and then life interferes and then it can make it worse. I mean, stress affects us at all ages, but some of the reasons that I feel like they can be addressed through simple lab tests and knowing your body. And I think that a lot of people aren't educated because it's not shared in the conventional world. Two of the main organ systems that are involved in, you know, irregular periods or losing our periods are our thyroid and our adrenal glands. And when these two organ systems, I mean, they're best buddies. And so when one is upset or, you know, feeling a little under the weather, if you will, it throws off our sex hormones. So having too much or too little thyroid hormone can affect your periods. Mm-hmm. And when we have adrenal fatigue, adrenal burnout, I think even a lot of my patients don't know they're going under adrenal fatigue or experiencing it. And it's when we sit down during the consultation and really discuss what's going on in their lives. And, you know, it's not normal to feel tired all day long or to feel like you can't fall asleep at night or that you're not getting a lot of sleep at night. All of these things will throw off our period. So I think, you know, just even looking at those two organ systems and having those labs run for addressing irregular periods can be very helpful for people with PCOS.
Yeah, I personally remember when I came in, I was in college and I totally thought it was like normal, like the lifestyle I was living, you know, the poor sleep and the poor diet and like stressing out over school day and night and studying and not having any boundaries and like not thinking of like my mental health or personal well-being. It's just like powering through. And everyone back then are still like is handed birth control, you know, so we're just like, let's ignore our symptoms and take birth control because our period's missing and just carry on in this fashion. Just like, you run ourselves into the ground and you don't even realize it because it's just normal and everyone around you is doing it too.
It's so true. And I think what's missed in terms of the adrenals and what they're really doing, the adrenal glands are where our sex hormones are made, right? That's actually the number one area where we end up making, it's our storage center, right? For our adrenal glands. And then our adrenal glands end up making DHEAS. And then that converts to making all of our sex hormones. So if the adrenals are tired, the last thing they're going to want to do is think, okay, let's make sex hormones so that we can even, you know, whether it's not lose our hair or learning how to make a baby in the body, right? Creating those healthy follicles that we need or having a sex drive to even get there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think when we know what the adrenal glands are doing, so the adrenal glands, they'll actually go and convert the energy that's stored in the liver into an activated fuel, or which is, you know, our primary glucose reserves. And then that serves as the fuel for the thyroid gland. And then it's the thyroid shop to ignite these sugars and then convert them into energy that we need. And when these glands, they're working together and in harmony, that then can fuel the ovaries to do what they need to do. And then that also brings us to the liver, right? So a lot of ladies with PCOS, they have fatty liver. And so if we have that going on, there's a couple of things that become even more difficult. We can't process our hormones in the happy, healthy pathways through the liver. So sometimes our hormones can get a little bit more toxic, and then that will shunt the period. And then also we won't be able to access the energy reserves that we need from fatty liver, if that is the case, to fuel our adrenals and then the thyroid, et cetera. So, you know, just some things I think to keep in the back of our mind when it's not just all about ovarian function, et cetera, but what is actually fueling that ovarian function, because, you know, our bodies are so amazing that everything is linked together.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And so based on what you said with adrenal fatigue, when someone's experiencing adrenal fatigue, it's going to impact their sex hormones, and that can essentially cause them to miss a period. And then also the thyroid can be a separate issue when they have too much or too little thyroid hormone that can cause them to miss their period. And the third cause you said was also a fatty liver as well, correct?
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. And all this too, like, can affect insulin resistance to a certain degree. Like when you have high stress or when you have your thyroid hormone being off, like all these are also impacting your insulin resistance at the same time.
That's 100% right. And I find, you know, I think that's the main reason that docs are wanting to overprescribe things like birth control, is because of the elevated testosterone. Right. And so when we have elevated testosterone, what's the root cause of it? Insulin resistance.
As well as like acne and like hair loss, facial hair as well, right?
Yep, exactly.
Zinc, vitamin D, magnesium, B12, these are all the vitamins that we're deficient in because of PCOS, and the list grows on.
If there was only a way to get all of these into one supplement bundle without going on a massive online search.
Hello.
What?
Isn't that why we created Metabolism Plus?
Oh, you mean our supplement line that covers all the nutrients and vitamins a woman with PCOS needs in one bundle?
Yes. Sisters, when I was diagnosed with PCOS, I was so overwhelmed with researching all the different supplement companies, and eventually I had a huge collection of bottles in my cabinet that I couldn't even keep up with.
So with that in mind, we created a bundle of four essential supplements that have the fundamental nutrients for women with PCOS, and it's called Metabolism Plus.
Not only does our bundle include omega-3, coenzyme Q10, curcumin, but it even has a multivitamin designed to fill nutrient gaps that are common in women with PCOS.
And what makes it really special is that all of our supplements are NSF certified, which means they are third-party tested for purity and accuracy.
Head over to ovafit.org to order your Metabolism Plus bundle today.
That's O-V-A-F-I-T. Org.
Okay, stop smelling. The link is in the description.
How dare you?
So when insulin is high, that's going to elevate our testosterone. And then when testosterone is high, it causes everything that we don't want as ladies. Hair loss, excess facial hair, and then acne. That can be on the back. That can be on the face. It could sometimes be, well, actually all over the body. Anywhere where we have those sebaceous glands, right? Those fatty glands. And then the hair loss, that can also occur all over the body. And so can the excess facial hair. I've seen it on ladies on their abdomen. And then they also have excessive coarser hair throughout their limbs. So it's, again, about, like we said, going to the root cause.
Yeah. I remember when I came in, I had fatty liver. So I just want to touch on that because, you know, the insulin resistance triggers fatty liver, like makes your body store more fat around your liver. And then that makes your liver sluggish. And then it also contributes to weight gain and missing your period and all of these things. And you gave me this supplement. It was like a liver health supplement. I don't know if you remember, but it was life changing.
The milk thistle one?
Maybe. Oh, yeah, yeah.
There are a few of them. You have such great memory. This was so many years ago.
Yeah, but it was a good supplement and I used it. I didn't need it forever, but I used it for a period of time. My, going to the bathroom was like so healthy, everything, my period, like it really helped me a lot. So I think a good liver health supplement that you could recommend would be very beneficial to those sisters listening that have fatty liver.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it doesn't even have to be a blend. It could just be like you did, a simple herb. It could just be milk thistle. Milk thistle is, you know, they like to call it the king or the queen of all of our liver supplements. But so is artichoke. Artichoke is another good one. And I like to take a couple of reasons. I like to take my herbs in a tincture form, which is basically an alcohol extraction of the active constituents of that herb. But it can also, if patients don't want to do, or the sisters don't want to do any sort of alcohol, it's, you know, you can do it in a glycerin form as well. So that's called a glycerite. So it makes it super duper sweet, which I don't prefer, but two versions are possible. So you can just take that herb itself. So artichoke is a good one. Dandelion is another good one. And then that works on kidney detox as well as liver detox. And the reason I also like to take them in tincture form is because they're bitter. And when herbs are bitter, that helps to stimulate digestive function, which is exactly what you just mentioned, Talene, which is, you know, your bowel movements were more regular and, you know, GI issues are a little bit more smooth, if you will. So it's almost like a 2-for-1 when you're taking a bitter tincture. It's really good for our digestive health. And I find them to be a little bit more powerful or effective at doing their job too when they're in tincture form.
Okay, great.
I feel like it really helps with like bowel movements. I remember I used to take it here and there, and every time I took it, the next day it would be like very good.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Especially men. Men don't have, generally, they respond really well to gut support.
Oh, really? Yes, that's good.
Because they don't have as much estrogen, and estrogen can actually, when it's too high, it can cause a lot of GI issues. So men respond a lot easier or better, I should say.
That's good to know.
Good to know.
So going back to birth control, we do know that this is something that's easily handed to a lot of like teenagers and many young women. It's not that it's very unfortunate for whoever takes it, but it's unfortunate when they don't know the repercussions or the long-term side effects, alternatives, all those different kind of options. And now I feel like it's becoming more prominent now, how people are talking about like how it can be an endocrine disruptor and cause like havoc on your hormones long-term. Of course, that doesn't mean that it doesn't help a lot of people. Like for when you're experiencing extreme symptoms, like we were talking about earlier with facial hair or acne, and like you want something to really give you a quick remedy so that, you know, for your confidence, it can be a good solution. But
I'm curious to know, like, if you had a patient right now who's young, handed birth control, missing her period for a year, what would you tell her to do? Like, what are the first 5 steps you would tell her to do to help get her period back before even going on birth control?
Well, that's a really good question. I really, really would not recommend birth control in the first place, mostly because, like we know, it's a Band-Aid solution, right? Yeah. So it increases serum hormone binding globulin, and then that will decrease testosterone, which means some of the symptoms could get better, but also it's going to decrease libido, and it's also going to decrease estrogen in the long run. And when we're on birth control, we're not ovulating. And when we're not ovulating, that means our body isn't developing that healthy progesterone that we need. And then there's no thickening of that uterine lining, which means we don't get a real period. The period from birth control is just a withdrawal bleed. So all in all, no to the birth control. Mm-hmm. But the first things I would say is, let's get some blood work done. We need to see what's going on inside of the body. One of the tests that I've started recommending for a while now is anti-Müllerian hormone.
Oh, I've been seeing a lot about AMH.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Very good. Yeah. It's actually increased in patients with PCOS. So sometimes it can help with a diagnosis, but basically, it's helpful for investigating ovarian reserve. And then we can actually use it in predicting when our menstrual cycle is starting to normalize. So that's one of the first hormones I would love to check for. And I also, you know, we want to check all the other sex hormones, the estrogens, the progesterones, the testosterones, but doing a glucose tolerance test, that's one of the gold standard tests I do for all of my patients that I suspect with insulin resistance and or PCOS, because they're oftentimes linked together. Another thing I would recommend is to do a diet diary, because sometimes, you know, we think that we're really eating well, but if we jot it down on paper, we can actually see, gosh, I didn't realize I was eating this many simple carbohydrates, or, you know, this many snacks or treats at nighttime, or whatever it may be. Are they stress eating? Are they just not eating enough? That can also be a problem why we're missing our periods, right? If we're trying to really lose weight, if you will, and using calorie restriction. And that's one of the worst things that we can do, because we need calories, especially from healthy fats, to make these hormones for our body. And that includes adrenal hormones, right? And thyroid hormones. So, and I would also say, take an inventory of the stress in your life. So when we can do all of these things at first, it really will help in the long run, so much more so than just kind of not going inwards. Because yes, we can look at all of the blood values and then address the imbalances in the blood values, but taking an inventory of our diet and lifestyle, especially when it comes to stress, are super duper important. Mm-hmm.
Those are some great tips. I remember one thing that you did tell me was to have flax seeds every morning and grind them up myself. Do you remember this? Do you still?
Yes,
do this?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, seed cycling. Gosh, I love seed cycling. And it's not only is it tasty, it's a great source of fat, and it does help. So, you know, having some pumpkin seeds in the luteal phase and flax seeds more towards the follicular phase, it really is helpful. You mm-hmm. just got to be consistent with it. And in good amounts, not just a little bit here and there, but, you know, you can put it in some shakes if you like, or make flaxseed crackers. Oh, that's one of my favorite things to do. Take a bunch of nuts and seeds and make crackers and munch on those.
Nice. I remember we actually talked about seed cycling on one of our episodes with you. So for anyone who wants to learn more about it, I recommend going back to our podcast and looking for the episode with Dr. Nirvana and seed cycling.
Yay, I would love that. There's lots of good information out there. And I think, you know, one of the other things that I want to share with your listeners, I think with everyone nowadays, is the, you know, the idea that we're all spending way too much time indoors and on our technology. And that means we're taking away from natural sunlight. So I'm having all of my patients see the morning sunrise. So when we see the sun rise, the light at that time actually helps us to make more melatonin production naturally for the night, but it also helps tell our adrenal glands when they need to be the most productive and what they need to do throughout the day and which hormones they need to produce. So it's the cheapest, most natural way you can actually regulate your circadian rhythm, which means you can regulate your hormones in the long run. So getting yourself outside as much as possible, no sunscreen, no sunglasses. And by sunscreen, I mean anything covering your skin, from lotions to clothes, etc., as much as you can, most especially the morning sunrise, and then throughout the day. So I'll usually do an adrenal stress index panel on my patients. And from there, we can see what their adrenals are doing throughout the day. And then if they, you can see, are the adrenals too high? Are they too low? What do they need? And then at that point, we can recommend what hours throughout the day are best for them to go outside. But you don't need to do that test. If you can't afford it, then, you know, just get outside as much as possible. And when it's cold outdoors, the EMR tech device is one of my favorite things. So it's a red light therapy type of device to have in the home. And that actually will help your mitochondria absorb the red light that it needs to get things going. So to feed your adrenals and your sex hormones, et cetera.
I've heard of that too.
Yeah. Red light therapy is really increasing in popularity. I'm hearing a lot of good things for inflammation and everything you said as well. And like you said, it's the easiest and cheapest way to get your hormones help your hormones get in sync. It's going outside in the morning. It's like letting your body know that it's morning, letting your body know that it's evening, or else sometimes your body's kind of, it's like tricked, right? Because we're like watching TV at night with this blue screen, our phones. It's like our bodies are confused whether it's nighttime and if they should produce melatonin or not.
That's exactly right. And blue light coming from these devices, it's so toxic to our bodies. It's literally frying our cells. A lot of the lab markers that I do with my patients, you can tell that their cells are so dehydrated from this technology. So anytime we're in front of a computer or a phone or even the TV or even indoors under any lighting indoors, it literally, think of it as it's a microwave to your body, and your cells are they're shrinking and they're becoming more and more dehydrated. And so anytime I'm at home, the lights are off as much as possible.
That's all good. The lights, like even the lamps.
Absolutely. Anything I can have off. It's been an adjustment. And my husband at first thought I was crazy. But I mean, if you've got enough good natural light outdoors, you don't need it. And then anytime you are and you need to have the lights on, I recommend blue blockers for my patients. It's imperative. So when the lights are on, my blue blockers are on my face. Same thing as whenever I'm in front of a computer or a phone, I do that all day and all night.
Forget to, we have those blue blocker glasses, but sometimes I forget to wear them because it's not like prescription, so I don't really need them. But yeah, I think those are really helpful. Or if you have like dimmable lights at home that you can dim to low, so at least you're not like bright white lights inside, that's I'm sure helpful too.
I remember I was told to just like stand in the sun. Like I remember I was really depleted. I was in college. There was a naturopathic doctor. This time it wasn't you. It was a teacher at Chapman University. And she was doing like assessments on students, just to like explain different things. And I was one of the examples that she used. And I said I had PCOS. And she just like looked at me and she was like, you need to go outside in the sun and just sit there. Like you... She took one look at me and that's what she said. I was like, I think she's right. Like, I think I was just like drained and tired and
10.
I looked exhausted. Like, I think it was the adrenal fatigue. Just like everyone could see it on me, you know, I'm like acne, overweight, like tired looking, just no energy, no pep in my step. And she was like, go outside right now.
It's the best thing. And if you know, like, if I have time from patient to patient, just to even go outside for 5 minutes and get some sun, even if it's cloudy, it will give you that little burst of energy that you need to get throughout your day. And you really only need, well, the morning sunlight, it's a minimum of 12 minutes, but as little or much, I mean, it just get out there. And if you do baby steps, it really works. And yes, it'll bring you back to life. I tell my patients, it's like, you know, my PCOS patients are, they're like these wilted flowers. And being outdoors is similar to taking water and just pouring a little bit of water on these wilted flowers and they perk right up.
Yeah, I honestly could not agree more. And back then I didn't take it that seriously because I felt like I should be studying. I should be in the library, should. And like, I wouldn't let myself just like bask in the sun and like enjoy it regularly unless I was burned out and just needed a break, but it wasn't like a regular thing. And, you know, that's probably why my period was missing for a year because of that mentality that was like, taking me away from all the things that my body really wanted, sun, nutrition, sleep. And I was like, no, I should study. I should work harder. I should do this, should. And like, didn't do what I actually needed to do.
And, you know, for my patients that have that thought process, what I recommend is take your work outdoors. That's what I do. I'll have oftentimes if the weather is good, I love going and doing my consultations outside. You know, well, they're over the phone. These are the ones where I get the opportunity to work from my home office. I'll go and I'll sit outside. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful. We always have that opportunity available to us if obviously the environment allows it. I mean, not every work situation is like that. But if you are a student, you know, going even studying outdoors, take your computer outdoors and hang out there for a little bit. Even baby steps will make a big difference.
Yeah, totally.
For sure. And when someone follows, like, let's say the steps, some of the steps that we talked about, how long does it usually take for someone to get their periods back to normal or get their periods back fully?
You know, I have seen patients turn around in 30 days if they really are committed and if I've been able to catch them early enough, meaning if they've come to me and they haven't waited a really long time to feel really, really bad, it doesn't really take that long. For some people, it can take, you know, 2 to 4 months. It really just depends. It's almost, for some people, it's like pulling off the layers of the onion. The more layers we have, it'll take a little bit more time. But generally, I see a big difference for my patients in 30 to 60 days.
Oh, that's great.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, we usually see like around 3 months as well, like in the 2 to 4 month range you said. And yeah, some people get it back a lot sooner. Does it usually matter if they, let's say they've been on birth control for a long time? Does that sometimes make it a little bit longer to get their periods back?
It can, because it's a cascading type of effect, right? Mm-hmm. So going back to what birth control is doing, it really ends up shutting down a lot. And so we have to, again, pour some water on our wilted flower and try and work on adrenal health, then thyroid health. Then it could possibly be gut dysbiosis, because our gut is intimately tied to our sex hormones as well. So it does become unraveling the root cause sometimes. And that is usually when it takes a little bit longer.
I see.
Right.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it just depends on like how severe your PCOS is in that moment, how long you've let it run and, you know, haven't been managing it. And, you know, all of those layers can contribute to how quickly you'll get your period back. It's incredible how we can bounce back once we know what we need. We tend to like get so used to feeling sick that you can't even imagine in a month not having acne and having your period and losing 30 pounds. Like, it's just unthinkable because you spent so many years or months like suffering like this. But in fact, like, it's amazing when you start doing those things and plugging in those nutrient gaps and helping nurture your body, like what you're capable of.
You're absolutely right. I've even had patients come to me not knowing they had PCOS and telling me, you know what, I feel fine. But it wasn't until we started treating them that they said, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how good I didn't feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Sometimes we don't know until we get there and we start to feel even better than we could have possibly anticipated, or right. not even anticipated, but know what does it actually feel like to have energy or to sleep good? Because we get used to not feeling good, like you've said.
Yeah.
Right.
And when you don't have normal periods, it's also like a vital sign that something is off to him. And that's why one of the reasons you're not feeling good. So getting your period back and having everything in harmony, you start to feel better.
Right. The body is just trying to get you to survive and thrive. And the first thing it's going to shut down is reproduction if it's trying to run from a tiger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, that's where our adrenal health comes in, right?
Absolutely.
I remember that tiger analogy. One of the first interview we had with you, we talked about that tiger analogy and how the tiger is chasing you and your body's essentially like shutting down its, you know, functions because it's trying to survive.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Amazing. Well, I think this was a great episode. We really talked through about, you know, why women with PCOS have irregular periods. We talked about birth control, natural solutions, and everything in between. I think it was great. Dr. Nirvana, where can our listeners find you?
Well, I would say my website is the easiest place, which is drnirvana.com, drnirvana.com.
Yes. And also, I know you told us recently that your Instagram got hacked and you started a new account. So I want all the sisters listening right now, open your Instagram and search the Dr. Nirvana. We'll also link it in the bio of this episode, but go ahead and follow her. She has amazing content. Her previous account had amazing content. I don't know how hackers do these things, but we really want her to have, you know, the same audience as before. So please give her a follow.
Oh, thank you so much.
Of course, of course. And we'll put your website and all your resources in our in the description of this episode as well. So for anyone who is interested in working with Dr. Nirvana, please go to her website. By the way, do you offer like virtual sessions?
Absolutely. It's my favorite. And then we get to sit outside with each other over the phone and just chat.
Oh, amazing.
So yes, awesome. Absolutely. I just wanted to thank you guys because Sirak Talim, you've done so much for so many people. And it's truly an honor to know you both and to see how far you've come and how much you're helping people.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind of you.
Just made us look at each other and give each other a smile. So thank you.
Oh, that's beautiful. My pleasure. It really is wonderful to see all the work that you're doing. And I just love how entertaining the two of you are to watch.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks so much.
And again, we want to express the same feelings to you. I mean, if it wasn't for the, you know, you being a part of Talin's health journey, we may not be here today either.
No, it's my pleasure. As many people as we can help, we're going to make this place a healthier world together.
Yes.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming on our podcast. And we hope to have you back soon. And we'll talk about some more PCOS related things. It's been so fun.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
And thank you to all our listeners. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey sisters, just wanted to let you know that all of our podcast episodes have corresponding blog posts that dive deeper into each topic. So head over to pcosweightloss.org/blog.
Is it slash or is it backslash blog?
I don't know.
I've always heard one or the other.
It's forward slash.
Or slash? Just in case, you can also go to pcosweightloss.org.